Perek begins with the topic of Kriyas HaMeisim, and the Gemara is quoting all of the various Tanoim and Amaroi, which one has a different marker in Tanakh for this concept. And the Rambam considers Kriyas HaMeisim one of the Yud Gimri Koyim Ha'emunah. What is so significant about Kriyas HaMeisim, Stam, that Ribono Shel Olam has such, we mentioned Kriyas HaMeisim in the second bracha, in Mishmoneh Esrei, the bracha of Gevuras. At the Gibor Yom Hashem, and we conclude Machai HaMeisim. So Tchias HaMeisim is one of the Gevuras of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Creating the world is also one of the Gevuras of the Ribono Shel Olam. So the whole purpose of Tchias HaMeisim is just to demonstrate the power of the Ribono Shel Olam, because that's what it's all about. Could have done that this other Gevuras. He does say the other Gevuras. Is that the main Indian? So some of the Farshim explain, they think that the idea, what's the significance behind Tchias HaMeisim. So some think that it's... Why do we consider this an Ikir and Emunah? Not so much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the power to do whatever he wants, even to do Tchias HaMeisim, but rather, Ikir and Emunah is that we should understand that our life in this world is not that temporary. If people have the attitude that we're only here for 70 years, Meshon and Sein Abahem, Shivim Shana, Bimigur, Shman Shana, and that's it, so you better grab as much as you can. So you may as well kill other people in order to steal their money and have a good time and eat macholos asuris and enjoy life. If you're just going to be here for a short period of time, so we assume no. There's a din b'cheshbon, there's chav yoynish, and there's going to be tchias hameisim. Means that we're going to live on chayei netzach, and we have tchias hameisim because we're mekusha with the Ribono Shel Olam. Every person is, even the nochrim are also mekusha with the Ribono Shel Olam. Everyone is mekusha. So a person should have the attitude, because of this Ikra Tchias HaMeisim, everyone should have the attitude that life is more important than just a temporary couple of years. And we should act in a proper fashion that what we do during our lifetime should bring us to deserve the Chayei Netzach of the Tchias HaMeisim. It's not just, we may as well chap around as much as possible. So it more goes through the various psukim that seem to indicate that there's such a yisoid of Tchias HaMeisim. So first, the Gemara has one of the psukim on Daf Tzadik on the base, about six lines from the top. The Gemara speaks about giving truma and challah to Aaron HaKohen. And the Sat Meir is truma Hashem li Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen died before they entered Eretz Yisrael. They weren't mafish trumas and maisis and chutz l'oretz. They didn't begin to be mafish trumas and maisis till after they came into Eretz Yisrael. So how can he possibly give truma to Aaron HaKohen? So the Gemara says one of two possibilities. Either it means that there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim, the day will come that Aaron HaKohen will come back to life, and we will be able to literally give the truma and the challah and the matnas kuna to Aaron HaKohen b'chvod v'yatzmo, in person to Aaron HaKohen. Or the Gemara says maybe that's not necessarily the pshat. Maybe the makor for Tchias HaMeisim is the other 25 psukim. Maybe this pasuk means a different thing. You should give the truma to an individual who's like Aaron HaKohen. Just like Aaron is a chaver, Aaron is a Talmud Chacham. In the days of the Tanoim, there was an institution of chaver and amoretz. So the chaver was the one who was learned, who was medaktik and mitzvahs. The amoretz was the one who was not so medaktik and mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, maybe the pshat is... The Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva, they had a brisa that had a different pshat. Arid means not that you're going to give the actual truma to Aaron HaKohen in person. You're going to give it to a person who's like Aaron. Ma Aaron Chaver, Af Banam Chaver. You only give the truma to one who is a Talmud Chacham, and Mikan, it says on the side, Mikan Omer Shein Yosem Matono Al HaKohen Amoretz. And then the Gemara says how terrible it is if you give truma to a Kohen who is an Amoretz, because he can sometimes if the person left going in his tummy and he eats the truma tohira, so the punishment is misa b'dei shamayim. And if he's going to eat the truma when it'll be in a state of tumah, there won't be misa b'dei shamayim, but there'll be an issa. So there are a lot of yisurim involved in it's not so easy to eat truma. So the Gemara says it's a serious matter and you should only give the truma to a Talmud Chacham who will know to be careful. The truth of the matter is that the Gemara Chulin, when they have this din, is not talking about Truma. The Gemara there is talking about Hazrala HaChayayim HaKeva, next to the last parrot in Chulin. Hazrala HaChayayim HaKeva doesn't have any Kedusha, Yishech Tadehime, wherever you happen to live. We are Mekel, we don't observe in a Chutzlar, it's a Rashi interprets on the Gemara there in Chulin. We follow the opinion of one of the Tanaim that the mitzvah of Hazrala HaChayayim HaKeva only applies in Eretz Yisrael. The Tesis says it's a Tesis Dingzach with Rashi, maybe that's That's not the pshat in the Gemara. But Lamaisa, that's why we follow that Rashi. We don't give in chutzlot. But when you give, so the Gemara says you have to give it to a Talmud Chacham. Even though there's no prohibitions involved at all. No Isurim if the Amoritz, if the Kohen is an Amoritz who's going to use the Zvalach Hayayim Barkeidwa in a state of Tumah, there's no problem. It doesn't have any Kedusha. Figure Rabbein also, you're not supposed to give to a Kohen Amoritz. You're only supposed to give to a Kohen Talmud Chacham. Even though the money is Chulun Gemur, there's no Kedusha of the Figure Rabbein money. You can use it for whatever he wants. So that's only the added, the Gemara says over here, of Gurum Lo Misa, you may cause Misa V'day Shemayim, Asiyu Avoy Nashma, V'yisiyu Oysam Avoy Nashma, V'yachma Maskot Shem. These are additional issues involved. If you'll give the Truma to Koyin Amoret, you may violate these Surim, which are very serious, that may sometimes lead to Misa V'day Shemayim, or lesser Roshim. But even giving Tigyan Aben, even giving Zerola Chayam Rakeva, the Gemara says also, you're supposed to give a Davka to a Chover. I saw one of the Mefarshim on the An Yankif. There's a running commentary on the bottom of the An Yankif by the author of the Chok Yankif. Chok Yankif and Hilchas Pesach. So he takes all the Agaritas, he tries to show everything al pi halacha, usually. A lot of times he just gives al derech hagodah, but very often he, more so than the other Mefarshim on the An Yankif, he tries to bring out the aspects of halacha. So he points out here, this is really an issue of halacha. He thinks that it's a machlokes amoraim here, the two different versions, as to how you've established this din. The first Amoira, the first, not an Amoira, it was a Braisa. The Gemara quoted the Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, who learned that from the Pasuk Aharon, you should give the Truma to a person, to an individual who is like Aaron HaKohen, namely Ma'aron Chaver, Avonim Chaver. So that means you have to give a Davke to Al Talmud Chacham. You can't give it to an Amoira. Whereas, according to the other second Pasuk that the Gemara quotes, Amr Shmuel ben Achmeinu, Amr Rabbi Yonasan, the Amorai quote the Pasuk Divra Yom in Beis, Vayom Olam Liyoshu Yerushalayim Losis Minos HaKohanim Ha'avim Laman Yichaske B'Toras Hashem Kol HaMachzik B'Toras Hashem Yesh L'Menos Yen Machz B'Toras Hashem Ein L'Menos. So the Ilun Yankov by the Chok Yankov suggests that it would appear even if the person is not really a Talmud Chacham, but he supports Talmid HaChachamim. So that's what he suggests. Kol HaMachzik B'Toras Hashem, even if he just supports a Talmud Chacham, he also deserves to get Truma. Truma you can't give him if he's not a Talmud Chacham, because they may violate these Isur, but the other Matnas Kuni you would be able to give. Whereas according to the first Yalfusa that you learn out Ke'aron, so maybe that implies Davke Chover, Davke Talmud Chacham, just because it's a big Tamech Torah, a Kohen is a big Amoritz, but he's a big Tamech Torah, he supports all the yeshivas in the world. So the Shaila is it proper to give him Tigyan Aben and Zorah Chayam HaKev and everything else, but there's no issue of Misa V'day Shamayim. So the Ilun Yankov suggests maybe that's machlokes depends on the different psukim where you learn it out from. The Gemara there in Chulin, on the next daf there in Chulin, Perak Azrala Chayim Akev, Gemara has another din. In addition to this din that you're not allowed to give Mikan Omer Sheinus Matana the Kohen Amoritz Chulin Kuf Lamin Amid Beis disappears. It's in Perak Azrala. The Gemara has a daf or two later. Kuflamid Aleph and Kuflamid Beis. The Gemara has another memory that Kol Koin Hamoida Ba'Avoida, if he subscribes to the Avoida Sakarbonos, you're allowed to give him Matnas Kuna. You can give him Pidyon Aben. If he doesn't subscribe to the Avoida, Ein Hamoida Ba'Avoida, so you're not allowed to give him Matnas Kuna. How do you translate the words Ein Hamoida Ba'Avoida? What does that mean? So Rashi on that Gemara has a remarkable pshat. Rashi says Ein Hamoida Ba'Avoida. He says the whole thing was made up by Moshe Rabbeinu. He doesn't believe that the Dinam Amin HaShamayim. That's how Rashi writes. Oh, so the Ritva, Titus against Rashi, means he's not the Kairos. He doesn't believe in Tarmin HaShamayim. That's what Rashi says literally. He says Moshe Rabbeinu invented all these Dinim. The Ribbono Shel Olam never commanded us to bring all these Kavanos. Ein Amoida Ba'Avoida. It's Nish Moida that the Dinam of Kavanos Amin HaShamayim. So the Ritva asks, you need a pasuk to teach us that you're not allowed to give him the pidyon aben and Zerolah Chayam HaKeva. So the Ritva tainis, he's an apikoris, he's maridim olam malim, you have to kill him. So the Chazon Ish asks, so what's the kasha? So you have mitzvah to kill him. But what if you live under circumstance where you can't kill him? No. The Chazon Ish himself writes that. As Bana said, the whole thing doesn't apply. The whole halacha maridim olam malim only applies if you have a religious community and there's one troublemaker who's trying to convince people of apikursus, and then there's a din bez matni yonshan tzarech hashor the migdal milsa v'haru hashor. So there's a din maridim olam malim. But if you have so many people are non-observant, non-religious Jews, So it will look like terrorists. And the Chazanei says, obviously the whole din doesn't apply to the Manazeh. No one follows that din of Marid and Lamal. So what's the din of Manazeh? You have a koinus and apikoinus, and we didn't kill him. So we want to know, are we allowed to use him for some reason, for kira purposes? We want to be mekarif him, so we want to get him involved in a pinyin aben once in a while, make him say a bracha, make him eat a suda, wash until it's at night. So we want to, the gimmick is, we want to start off by using him as the coin for the pinyin aben. So that's what Rashi says, called man, you didn't kill him. Live a generation when you can't kill him. So what exactly was the taina of the ritvo? What is it? The ritvo hata taina, he's not going to live too long. So when are you going to have, it's not b'chdeshi asr, you have no time to give him the matins kumar. Why not? Because manazeh, you have a lot of apikurs and they live in arichas yom and mishon. So you need, Rashi should tell you on the gemara that you're not allowed to give them the matins kumar. So the chazanish taina is that the ritvo's kash against Rashi was a different kash. The ritvo can be like we were discussing last week, that if a person has an incomplete Kedushas Yisrael, so he can't be a Kohen. In order to be, I don't know, did we mention it last week? There's a din, in order to make a minyan, to recite a Dovashim Kedusha, you have to have 10 Yisrael. So when the Shulchan Aruch quotes that din, after Pesukah Nezimra, it says that you say, the Chazan gets up and he says, a Kaddish, a Chatzi Kaddish, after Yishtabach, before Baruch. So it says over there, that's the first time that they discuss in Shulchan Aruch, I think Siman Nun Hey, that you have to have a minyan in order to recite Kaddish and Kedusha and Baruch and so on, for Dovash and Kedusha. It says that you have to have Asari Yisrael, Menechorim, Menechris, Yenat Mitzarev, Fenochrim, and so on. So the hatred there refers you to the Tshuva and the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi is not sure whether if a person succeeded in creating a golem, Afi Kabbalah, if he knows how to make a golem, can you be mitzarif a golem to the minyan? What's the suffix? Is the suffix given the golem is Jewish or not? What's the shaila? Because the Gemara says in the second parak in Sanhedrin, kolam melamed is ben chaveru, mal al bakasav kili yelado. So he has a suffix. So here it's even more so. I brought this golem into existence, and maybe since I'm Jewish and it's kili yelado, so maybe the golem is Jewish. And if I adopt a non-Jewish child and I raise him and I teach him, it becomes, let's say, a Kohen, let's say, for argument's sake, I'm a Kohen, and I raise a child who's not a Kohen, so he becomes a Kohen. Or I raise a non-Jewish child, he becomes a Jew. It's very strange. So the Chacham Tzvi has this funny suffix, and the Tshuva's Chacham Tzvi, if you create a Golem that's more than Malamed is Ben Chadir Torah, so maybe it's more than Malal Al-Kos of Kili Yulad, maybe he's Mamash Ayyid. So the Be'er Heter quotes the suffix from the Chacham Tzvi. So the Chazanish writes that he doesn't think that there's any room for any suffix. And he quotes the Gemara earlier in Sanhedrin, we learned it in the Sama. So the Gemara says that Rava Bora Gabra, Rava made a Golem, Rava knew Sefi Yitzira. So he knew how to create, here it is. On Sama Chayimah base, 10 lines from the bottom, Rava Bora Gabra. And he sent his Golem to Kamei to Rav Zera. And Rav Zera started to carry on a conversation with him, and he saw the Golem couldn't speak. So he said he was very annoyed. He says, so what good is that to have a person in the shape of a human being doesn't know how to talk? So he killed him. So Frank the Chazanish, you're allowed to kill a Nachri? You're not allowed to kill any human being, whether it's a Yisrael or a Nachri. So obviously you see from the Gemara that when you create a Goylem based on Sefi Yitzira, Sinishki Yid, Sinishkin Goy. Not a Sofik in the Chacham Tzvitzi, a Yitzah God. It's not even a human being, it's a Behem. Otherwise there would be an Yisrael or a Sirtzah. That's what Chazanish Tagis Mizdimah. So the Chazanish Tainis, if it's not a human being, so there's nothing to discuss whether he's Jewish or not. In order to be Jewish, first you have to be a human being. And then you can discuss the next step, whether he's Jewish. So the same is true regarding a Kohen. That's what the Chazanish explains on this Ritvo in the end of Chulin. In order to be a Kohen, first you have to be a human being. Then you have to be Jewish. And then on top of that, you have to belong to Shevet Levi. And on top of that, there's what to discuss whether you're a Kohen. But if you're missing the first step or the second step, if you don't have a full din of Israel, so how can you say, Vaita, yeah, he's a Levi, Shevet Levi, he's even a Kohen. How can he be a Kohen if he's not a full Israel? So that's what the Ritva gemeins in Taina. Not that the Apikoris is Marid Melo Malim, so he's not going to live too long, so it's not Bechdeshi Yasu. So there's no time to discuss whether you can give him Matnas Kuhuna. No. Kozman, you didn't kill him, there's what to discuss. If you have some reason why you want to give him the Matans Kuna, you Yotze or not. So the Chazanish says, no, the Taina of the Ritva against the Rashi was, since an Apikoris is Dina Ka'akum, so it means he doesn't have a full Din of Yisrael. There's something missing in his Din Yisrael. we were discussing last week, is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? Many hold that it's a din d'oraisa. I mentioned last week, a machlokes that the Shach quotes, it's in the base in Yeruday, whether a mumer, la v'rizor, apikoresh, shoshachat, shchitos, and nevela, is that only a knas mit d'rabbanan, that mumer din d'kakum, is a real din d'oraisa? So the ritvor meant to taina, on the assumption that it's a real din d'oraisa, he doesn't have a full din Yisrael, so how can you say that he has a din koyin? So I would know that on my own that you can't give matnas kula. So the ritvor taina is not like Rashi. It doesn't mean he doesn't believe that this part of the Chumash is min hashamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't come in. Of course he believes that. It means it's not so midaktik, on Avodas HaKorbanos. So if he's not nizer and all the din of kuna, so you're not supposed to give matnas kuna. But that kohen is a mitamila mason, or he marries a grusha, marries a mishu hasurlo. So we have a din of Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Mechoris, that if the kohen is in violation of the din of kuna, so you're not allowed to treat him like a kohen. You're not allowed to let him do it, it says in Shulchan Aruch. You don't give him the first aliyah. You're not supposed to let him do it, you're not then. And so on and so forth. So that was the Ritvor's time. Says that the Ritvor reinterpreted him, or he didn't like Rashi's pshat. It means it doesn't believe that it's min hashamayim. So time that's an apikoros din ka'akum. So he can't really say that he has a din of a kohen. He doesn't have a full din Yisrael. Then the Gemara quotes a famous Agadah, if a person is no longer alive and people are saying over halacha b'shmo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Shimon bar Yehotzadok, means that Rabbi Yochanan didn't know Rabbi Shimon bar Yehotzadok in person, mishum, he heard over in his name. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yehotzadok, called mishenema halacha b'shmo, boil them as there, even though the person died already, sifsosov dovavos b'keva shenema, doivav sipsi yishay. What does that mean? It's taken literally, that the Talmud Chacham's lips are moving in the grave. So the Pasha Pshat doesn't mean that. What the Pasha Pshat, what it means is a metaphor. What it means is that if a person did something during his lifetime which will cause other people to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim later, so that's farechen das eschus for this person, even though he passed away already. And after you die, there's no more room for mitzvahs and averis, but still, since I did something during my lifetime that caused, I said the retirements, and after I die, someone's going to say it over my name, so it means that I caused them to say the retirements. I deserve a reward for that, as if I myself was saying the retirements after I die. And the same is true Leroy also. Let's say a person did something terrible during his lifetime. He didn't raise his children properly, and they were Yotze the Tarbis Roh, and then they had grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they were all Yotze the Tarbis Roh. So he does every time the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, and every time he did Averis, and he got all the people, they got other people to do Averis, and he dies. Even after he dies, the Averis that the other people continue to do, Aparechen does Averis for him. That's how many of the Mepharshim comment on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says a person should always keep in mind, Lefnei Miyata Asa Litin Din Bechesh, Dami Ayin Basa, Lefnei Miyata Asa Litin Din Bechesh. So what kind of an expression is that din, the cheshbon? You should say a cheshbon of a din. First, the bezdin, whenever you have a din terah. So first you make a cheshbon. He deserves schar, oinish, whatever. He deserves so much money, but on the other hand, you have to take off so much and make all the cheshbonis, and then you give a psak. After all the cheshbonis I made, you give a psak. The din comes later. So what kind of an expression is a din, the cheshbon? You should say, lifnei miyata asalitein cheshbon v'din. So the mefarshim say, of course, there's a cheshbon, then there's a din. And after the din is all over, then there's going to be a weiter cheshbon. After the person died, there's going to be a cheshbon. Every year, they're farechent for him more schusim and farechent more onshim. He's responsible for many things that continue to happen after he dies, both l'toiva and l'ro. So this is part of that idea that the subsos of dovavos b'kever, if the person learned Torah in such a way that his Torah that he did during his lifetime is being said over after he dies, and that's also farechen as a schus for him.
I think that's what it means. That's why Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim
so Sifrei Meisim are also being judged again anew, right? The Meisim are also being judged anew. The psak that we gave in the past only covered up until that point, but there's what to continue to judge. That's why we give. That's why people give tzedakah. People give tzedakah on Yimei HaDin, and then they say yisker that this tzedakah that we're giving should be farechent as a schus for my parents, for my grandparents, who raised me properly and they educated me in the idea of giving tzedakah. So the tzedakah that one gives is farech and first course for the people who had a shaykhus. If they had no shaykhus, so why should it be farech and first course? There's a concept brought mezakada, because this is an extension of the father. But if the father didn't teach him about giving tzedakah, so then it's unlikely that it's going to be farech and dezus chus. That's when the Shulchan Aruch, many of the Mefarshim say that the idea of fasting on a yahrzeit is also based on that. That the fact that the person died on that day seems to be an indication that that day was a yom hadin for this individual. So it could well be that it's not only a yom hadin on the year that he died, it could be that every year that's going to be the yom hadin for him. A yom hadin? Shainat yenendo. What do you mean a yom hadin? No. They're going to make a new din to determine what changed in the past year. So that's why there's a concept of fasting. There's a behest tzara. When there's a tzara, so people fast. Fasting is considered as if you offered a korban. So you stand, the Gemara says, you stand a better chance of having your tefillahs answered if you offer a korban in conjunction with the tefillah. So if it's mancha beis hamikdash, the Gemara says, choni amago went into the beis hamikdash and he brought a korban and he prayed for the rain. So we go as a Titus, everybody fasts. And the fasting, the Gemara says, the Gemara says in Brachas, that you lose a little weight when you fast, you lose a little blood, you lose a little fat. So the Mi'atchel Bevidomi should be farechen as if I brought a korban on the Mizbech, and as if I brought the Chel Vidam. That's considered a korban. So that's what the idea, that's what the Mefarsh Mesen Shulchan Aruch, the idea of fasting on a yahrzeit. It's not stam a person nemta na neder. What does he take such a neder? So the discussion in Shulchan Aruch, if a person died on the Shana Pshuta and Chodesh Ador, which Ador do you fast if when the yahrzeit falls out on the Shana Mulberet, do you fast on the Rishon of Rabbi Sheni? So it's machlokes, the Mechaber Ramah. So the Mechaber Ramah are arguing Baloshim and the Yodam, based on the Mishnah in the Dor. The person says he's not going to eat potato chips during the month of Ador, and this year is a Shana Mulberet. So did he mean Adarishan? Did he mean Adarsheni? Is a gate on a gansa machlekes satanaim and a machlekes the mechaben ramoa because benindorm aloi chachaloshim liyodam. So and you fasting on the yahrzeit is an inyan like a neder. The person was mekabel neder. Tavasa the gemein. Did he mean Adarishan? Did he mean Adarsheni? So then the only going another say it's not a matter of loshim liyodam. It's a real klapi shmaya galia, a real serious question. Which is the yom adin? Doesn't slamala v'lamart what you had in mind? The issue is, when is the real Yom Adin? The Yom Adin for this Nifter was on whenever, Zayin Adar. So the question is, if it's going to be Hashanah Mulberes, which Zayin Adar is the Yom Adin? Because the idea of fasting on the yahrzeit is not just a minig mitam neder. What is the minig based on? We're concerned maybe that there is a Yom Adin, maybe he'll be judged again l'ro. So we want to be misfollowed that either he may be judged again or the whole family may be judged again. Different nuances of how it's presented. So this is a concept in halacha, right? So it's with davos bekever is l'taiva, and then you have it l'ro as well. But if the person dies, the cheshbon continues to go on.
From this, maybe grandchildren should also be fasting because they don't know the grandchildren.
Yeah, there is a possibility. Yeah. Then Mason mid kapor, even if they didn't do any avers and they didn't cause any avers. So Deacon Mistama, Tzadik Gomer doesn't need any kapor. One who did something wrong needs a kapor. Yeah.
Why does it have to be Bishmoy? I mean, even if he doesn't say it in his name, if he's responsible for it.
Enough. I don't know if that's so crucial, Bishmoy. The din is you're supposed to say halacha b'shem amar. Yeah. Supposed to say b'shem amar. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, sometimes you're not allowed to say B'Shem HaMar. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Bava Kamma, if the fellow was a Baal Aveira, then you're not allowed to say over Halacha B'Shem HaMar. So maybe that's what it means. If the fellow was a Baal Aveira, and he doesn't deserve that we should say over B'Shem HaMar, so we're talking going to say his Torah, but not B'Shmoy, so maybe then it's not for Echon does his chuzvim. I don't know. So the Gemara goes on to quote other psukim to try to demonstrate the source for the din of source for the ikar of Tchias HaMeisim. So the Gemara has interesting on the bottom of the towards the bottom of the daf, Cleopatra asked Reb Meir, four lines from the bottom. She knows that there's such a principle of Tchias HaMeisim. She's not sure when they're going to have the Tchias HaMeisim, Kishehim Omdim, Omdim Arumim, or Bilavushehim Omdim. Tfias HaMesim is going to be with clothes or without clothes. So funny Shaila, what's it? He says, yeah, of course it's going to be with clothes. Why are they going to walk around without clothes? What was the Salka Daita? It's going to be Tfias HaMesim. They're going to walk around without any clothes. So one of the, I think that even Yaakov talked about in the Chayt Yankov, he suggests the Adam Rishon Kadim Achet was on a Madrege, that the Eva didn't arouse him, and there was no issue. It says, there was no problem. So the Sufik, she had a serious Sufik. Maybe after Tchias HaMeisim, mankind will be on such a madrega like Adam Rishon Kadim Achet, which we consider a much higher madrega than Lachar Achet. So maybe there won't be any need for Malbusha. So the answer was given, no, we're going to be with Malbusha. So ready after the Achet, we're going to be with the Malbusha. So that's why we have a minig that when we bury men, we bury with a talis to be mechazik the amuna and Tchias HaMeisim, that we believe that Tchias HaMeisim is going to be on the mace and on the malbushe. So we want him to have a bekavadik malbush. We have a talis on him. That's why there's a discussion in the Avnei Nezer has a discussion. When you bury a mace in a talis, when you bury a man in a talis that he wore during his lifetime, should you bury him in a Shabbos diga talis or a Zvacha diga talis? So the Avnei Nezer refers you to the Gemara in Zvachim, where the Gemara has two klolim. The Gemara has one klal todim, shena todim, todim kodim, that's perakolat todim. If you have to perform two mitzvahs, and you can either do A, B, or B, A, so which one should you do first? So the Mishnah learns that in the Pasuk. Milvad olas ha-boyker, asher li-olas ha-boyker. You should bring the musaf and be after the Talmud Shal Shachar, because todim, shena todim, so you should, when you're arranging to do, if you're interested in doing two mitzvahs, you should first do the mitzvah that's tadira, and then only afterward do the mitzvah shena tadira. So that's the first klal the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah has another klal, mekudish veina mekudish, mekudish kodim. That's a dekain is standing in the Beis HaMikdash, and two balabatim are there, and he's pulling him in this direction, he's pulling the other, he says, I have a chatos, I want you to bring a chatos, an oil, or whatever. Please, quickly. And the other balabos is pulling in the other direction, I have a carbon shlamim, a carbon tayda, I want you to bring my shlamim and my tayda. So the Mishnah says, since this is kachim kachim, and this is kachim kalim, so mekudish, reina mekudish, mekudish kodim. So you're arranged to do the mitzvahs in the world. And this arrangement, first the more important mitzvah, and then the less important mitzvah. Then the Mishnah gives you more details. What about a chatas and a noilo? What about a tayda and a shlamim? Many, many details. What's more mekudish? Which is more important than which? So then the Gemara has a suffix. What if you have two mitzvahs to perform? And each one has a milo over the other one. One is a tadir, and one is a makudish. So the klal is tadir v'shena tadir tadir kaidim, but the other klal is makudish v'shena makudish, makudish kaidim. So what do you do when there's a conflict? So the Gemara does not, the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion and say, by life shita, it's a take with the Gemara. So the Rama writes, ezim hem shiyir tse yagdiv. It's optional, because the Gemara was never machri, the Bavli was never machri. Yishami claims that it's machalik v'sham hem b'silah by kiddish, and Bar Pri Agrofen, which do you say first? The Shammai say Kiddush first, and then Bar Pri Agrofen, and Bisilu said you say Bar Pri Agrofen first, and then Kiddush. And Yerushalmi claims that that is the machlek, is Bisham and Bisilu, and Avalishi Tosra, Ablez and the Hachamim, and Anishna and Nazir. But the Bavli does not learn like that at all, and the Bavli says this Safi Kotarim Kiddush, so it's an Ibaidulev Shita. So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva about this. When you're holding by burying a man, in the minigas that you bury with a talus, Mechazik de Emuna and Tchias HaMeisim, that Bilavushayim, the wrong, the Bilavushayim, said he has the suffix, he has the clash, should you bury the person with the Shabbos Digitalis or with the Vacha Digitalis? On the one hand, Shabbos and Yontav is Mekudish. The Talis is more Mekudish, it's a little Mekens on Dingen. That's what he says. And the Chol is Tadir, because I use it 6 days a week. So it's more Tadir than the Shabbos Digitalis. The question is, these klalim of Torah Shena Torah Torah Kodim Kodesh and Kodesh 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 in the Mishnais in the Gemara there in Parakal HaTodir in the Zvachim Dat Teites, the context is when you're interested in performing two mitzvahs, should you first do A and then B, or should you first do B and then A? What if it's a toss-up whether you're going to do A or B? One is going to be Deich or the other, you can't do both. So that's the Magen Avraham Hilchos Sukkah quote, that's a steer between two Taisusin. The two rules of Torah Shein Torah and Mekudish Shein Mekudish. Does either of the rules apply in this instance? Maybe the rules were only formulated in the Chumash. Maybe the dinim of Torah Shein Torah and Mekudish Shein Mekudish only apply to be mesadet to this mitzvah. But when one is going to be deicha the other, maybe neither of the klolim apply. So the Avnei Nezer first discusses that. He thinks that he shows from the Taisusin that we accept La Halacha even when one is going to be doicha the other. And then he says, so what's with the Talus? So he says, optional. He discusses, I think he says, not optional. He starts off part of the tshuva, he says that it's optional.
The Talus is different than a carbon. A carbon is Kodesh Kedoshim and Kodesh Kamos. But a talus of Shabbos is...
Zelda talus, yeah. That's a starke tainan. Why does he consider the Shabbos dig a talus more mikudish than the weekday talus? Yeah. Talus is a talus, yeah. Mekenzach dingin. So others dingzach with the whole discussion of the Avnei Nezer. What's the reason that we bury in a talus? Why don't we just bury in Tachrich? The answer is, we want to be mechazik the Amunah and Tchias HaMesim. So after Tchias HaMesim, we want to have a malbush noya, a pretty beged. So use the Shabbos dig a talus. You want to have more beautiful... So it's not a toss-up between Todor and Mekudesh. We want to have the most beautiful beged to show that we really believe in Chias HaMesim and Omdin Bilavushay. The Gemara has it. To everything. Maybe that's a different thing.
Why can't you bury him in both?
Two talis. Yeah, we live in a generation where we know of people who wear two talis. Because apparently in the days of the Gemara that was not a common practice. To wear more than one talis. At least in the days of the Avnei Nezer, that was not a common practice. The days of the Gemara, it's a that's a big problem. The Gemara says you're not supposed to passel it, but the Tosis quotes from the outside the Midrashim from Maseches Smochos that one of the Tanoim said they should remove the tzitzis. So Tosis has a hard time explaining why we follow that that source. Yeah, the, some of the Gedolim, but they quote the Vilna Gaon left instructions that they shouldn't passel his tzitzis. And he told one of his Talmidim, and then when they were doing the Tara, and they were about to finish, that Talmud had to go to the Beis HaKiseh for 2 minutes, and then when he was out, they didn't realize and they passed the tzitzis. When he came back, so it was too late, they had already passed the tzitzis. So they assumed that it was Men HaShamayim, that they weren't supposed to listen to the instructions of the Vilna Gaon. Then he quoted the author of the Yisod Mishor HaShavod also left instructions that they shouldn't pass on his tzitzis. And as they were lowering him in the grave, so they didn't lower him in a coffin, just the body, and the tzitzis tore on the pebbles on the side of the grave. So they assumed also p'sasim and hashamayim that you're not supposed to be mishan of the minik. It's a questionable minik. Why? Tesis works out. Tesis and the Ramban, the Mohammed and the end of my cut, and they work on that. Why we passel at tzitzis? Because the Gemara says you're not supposed to passel at tzitzis. The Gemara assumes, the Gemara in the end of Maseches Nida assumes like this Gemara, that the Mesim, after Tchias HaMesim, will be Omdim Bilavusheyem, they will come back with their Malbushim, and the Malbushim will Alpi Pashtus, and Mesim, after Tchias HaMesim, is that this reconstituted Alpi Nes. No, Tchias HaMesim is a Nes, not the Derech HaTerev. And the Malbushim, after rotting away and disappearing, are going to be reconstituted, the Pashtus is that it's also a Beged Alpi Nes. So we don't fully understand. The Gemara says if you bury a mace with a beged of shatnes, when he's going to come back to life after Tchias HaMesim, and the beged is going to be reconstituted, so he's going to be wearing shatnes. So the Gemara says, is that allowed or is it not allowed? So one could have argued what it means. It's a beged shalnes. It's not tzemer, it's not pishtim. It's neither tzemer nor pishtim. The material is called cloth of nes. So the Gemara halknitaz. The Gemara says in the end of Nida, you bury the mace with the shatnes. We assume he's going to come back to life with the same shatnes beged, unless it means he's going to have, he may have Tchias HaMesim before the beged rots away. That's not what it sounds like in the Gemara. Rashi says that in the Gemara, based on this Gemara, that the Mesim are going to come back to life and the Malbushim are also going to be reconstituted. If the Gemara is talking about the possibility that he's going to have Tchias HaMesim tomorrow, so Rashi didn't have to quote there, the beged is going to be reconstituted. The Gemara, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, we assume that Beged is going to come back also, and the Beged is going to be Shatnas, and the question is, are we machshel this mace by putting on a Beged shal Shatnas now? Well, before we bury him, is this an issue of being machshel him, that if the Tchias HaMesim is going to wear Shatnas? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's permissible, that mitzvah betelus lasi lova, that after he comes back to life, there won't be any issue of Shatnas. A mace mchavshim, the Gemara says, kimin shemes adam, Nasa chavshim min ha-mitzvah. What do you mean? Kol zman he's meisim. Of course he's chavshim min ha-mitzvah. What's the havamina? So the pasuk goes, meisim chavshim, the meisim ha-potam min ha-mitzvah, even after they'll come back to life, they'll still be potam min ha-mitzvah. There'll be different people walking around after tchias ha-meisim. Those who were born, kidminig oilam, they were born from parents and they just never die. They were born right before the period of tchias ha-meisim, so they'll still be chayv ha-mitzvah. And those people who died and came back to life and they were all walking around together and learning on the same base madrash, so they'll be potam in a mitzvah. Half of the people who will be alive at that time will be chayv in mitzvah, and half of the people will be potam in a mitzvah. That's what it seems from the Gemara. The mitzvah is betelus lasi lava in the context that it says in the Gemara. It doesn't mean that lasi lava there won't be any need for any mitzvahs. No, the mitzvahs will still apply. The mason who will come back to life, they'll be potam in a mitzvah. Those who will be born naturally, who will be alive the first time before they die, will be chayim mitzvahs. Anyway, this is the famous Gemara, that the Gemara says that...
Does this Gemara, that we are not the sack of the world, and it's not Adam Kodim Achei, is that a raya to this machlekes, whether there's a world of Chiyas and Asim and a world of Adam Abba and different worlds? Or...
The Rishonim have some machlokes. We're not sure exactly what they're fighting about. The Rambam and the Ramban have the machlokes whether Tchias HaMeisim is the same thing as Olam Habo, or they're two different things. The Rambam says they're two different things. So they taina against, they ask against the Rambam. We didn't read that Gemara. The Gemara says he kores dikores avayin Habo. So the Gemara says, the Gemara right before this, es Hashem Homa Gadef and Nichras Anef Shehid, then it says he kores dikores. So it says kores three times. The Nichriso, then it says Hikores, then it says Tikores. So the Gemara says, what can it be referring to? We know that it's shaykh to say one goes Ba'alam Azeh, one goes La'alam Abob. What are three things? So the Mefarshim ask, according to the Rambam, why not? Why can't you say the Shloish Olam is Hikores Ba'alam Azeh, then after Tchias HaMeisim, then after in Olam Abob? Three different places to talk about. It's very unclear what's going to be. The Gemara seems to talk only about two things. Only about Olam Hazeh and Olam Habah, as if after Tchias HaMeisim, the same thing as Olam Habah. We usually assume that it's not so. We usually assume, like the Rambam, that Tchias HaMeisim is going to be with bodies and Olam Habah is going to be without bodies. So what do you do with this Gemara? I don't know. The Gemara says, B'chishlosh ha'olamim yesh. Gemara before. Here the Gemara again has the debate whether does it make sense, can it be there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim? Of course it can be. We assume that based on the Pesukim HaChumash that there will be Tchias HaMeisim. The Gemara says, how is it possible the body was dead for so many years? A person died 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, going to have Tchias HaMeisim. How can it be? How can it be? So the Gemara says, why not? Sometimes you look at a mountainside, you don't see any life at all, and then overnight it'll be full of worms. It's possible to develop worms overnight. So it's possible to have life. The Rebbeinu Shlomo can cause Tchias HaMeisim at any time, it's not so impossible. Then the Gemara quotes this Mamish current events. This is in they just printed this in a newspaper a couple of weeks ago. They translated some Egyptian newspaper that's written in Egyptian, so they translated it into English so people in America will understand that the Egyptians who live in Switzerland are preparing a case against the Jews all over the world. That they want us to give them back the money that we stole at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because according to their version in their Quran, it says that we stole the money. The way it says in Chumash, it says, V'shoal ishim mishchenta migoras beisa, that they asked from Atonis. That's how the Mefarsh Mesiyah Chumash. Ki yishal ish mi'im reyeh, kesef hakeh. How does it say? Ki yishal ish mi'im reyeh. Oshoyal chai b'yonsim, when I borrow a car, or I borrow a sefer, that's lishal me'im. But here it doesn't say Lisham Mim, it says Vishalisham Mishkenta Migoris Base, it means to ask for a maton. To ask for a maton, and it says Vashem Nasan Ushein Hom the Yeni Mitzrayim by Ashulam. And they gave them the matonis. We don't assume that it was alone, and we don't assume that it was Beginavim. So they have in their newspaper that they're preparing a whole case. They're gonna have this case. Which court are they gonna bring it up? In Switzerland they have a court that makes Psokim over the whole world. In the days of the Gemara, Alexander the Great was ruling that whole part of the world. So they all went to Alexander. The Gemara has the three court cases that they had. There was an international tribunal, so it made a little sense. So the Gemara has this taina that the Egyptians came The Egyptians came to Alexander the Great. Here, with the second case that the Gemara has, Shuv Pam Acheres, the second time, by the tiny letter Aleph of the Hagos Hagroa in the Gemara. It's about 25 lines from the bottom. The second court case that the Gemara has is that the Egyptians came to claim against the Jews. They want Hashem Nasan Schinam Yenim and Samba Yashilim. They want back the Kesef Zorb Shin and Taltim. They want back the money. Mamash, that's what they're tightening up. They say they're going to claim the money against all the Jews all over the world, and Bim Yuchad, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. That's right. That they're going to hold the Jews responsible, we should give them back. So the Gemara has this court case. So there was one Jew who represented all of Bnei Yisrael, Gvamp Eb Sisa. So he argued out in front of Alexander the Great. So he said, when they'll pay us the salary for the 430 years that it says in the Bible, they'll hold proof is what it says in the Bible. That's what in the days of Alexander. Now they're forgetting about the Bible. Now they're basing it based on the Quran, that it says in the Quran that we stole the money. But in the days of Alexander the Great, their claim was, the whole argument was, what does it say in the Torah? It says in the Bible that the Jews worked for the Egyptians for 430 years. So when you'll pay us for the labor for 430 years, then we'll give you back all the gold and silver. So that was the end of the court case. The Gemara has the first court case. Here on the fourth wide line. The Esem Rabba Benissen, it says on the side, on the margin, this appears in the Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus was the first thing written down. That's what Rashi writes in Masechet Shabbos. It's called the Megillah because it was written down at the time that the Torah Shabbal Peh was still forbidden to be written. When the Mishnais was still recited Baal Peh, the Megillas Tainus was already Biksav. That's why it's called the Megillah. And it starts from Nisan, year Sivan. It goes in the order of the months and the calendar, and it lists off all the Yamim Tovim that the Chachamim instituted during the period of Baishen. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah has a whole discussion. Yeah, the Gemara has a whole, that's sugya, whether Batla Megillas Tainus or Leb Batla, after the year 70, after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, do we still celebrate the holidays that they instituted during Baisheni or not? So the Gemara has a whole sugya, goes on and on and on, and then the Gemara comes to the conclusion, with the two exceptions of Chanukah and Purim, which are part of Megillas Tainus, all the other holidays were Batla Megillas Tainus. So the Gemara explains what it's all based on. What was the issue? Whether after the Churban Baisheni, should they still continue to observe the holidays or not? So the Gemara explains, what is the yisoid of all the holidays? That's why this one is problematic. What is the yisoid of all of the holidays in the Megillas Tainus? So the way the Pri-Chodesh learns the Pshat in the Gemara, the Chassam Sofer quotes the Pri-Chodesh, so the Pasha Pshat, the Gemara says, there's an issue of Baal Tosif. How are you allowed to institute a Yontif that's going to be observed by the Jews all over the world? Bishleima, the family celebrates a birthday every year, the birthday of the little baby, or the family celebrates a wedding anniversary or something like that. So Mehechetei said, that's not a yontif, that doesn't smack from a yontif for all of Klal Yisrael. Or if you have a community and they had a yeshua, there was a gzeiras hashmad, and they had a yeshua, so they celebrate every year in the commemoration of that yeshua, so that's a local holiday. So the Chayyadim says, a local holiday is not celebrated by all of Klal Yisrael, that's not an issue of Baal Tais. But if the Tanaim instituted Yontif, Chanukah, Purim, and all the other holidays in Megillas Tainus, every month in Danish did that, another Yontif, and it wasn't always for one day, most of the times for a few days, 5 days in a row, 3 days in a row, 8 days in a row, a week and a half in a row. So they had Kesed, all the Yomim Tovim, so why weren't all of these a violation of Baal Tosif? What right do they have to institute Yomim Tovim that should be observed by the Jews all over the world? So the Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah explains that it is based on the Pasuk in Zechariah. Right, so the Gemara says the basis is Bizman she Beis HaMikdash Kayam, you have to celebrate over the fact that you have a Beis HaMikdash, that they built the Beis HaMikdash, that they were Machanach the Beis HaMikdash, that people are donating things to the Beis HaMikdash, and you're preserving the Beis HaMikdash. And when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, then you have to observe Avelos over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara seems to say, that's the Pashm Shat Gemara Rosh Hashanah, that Hatzara Shavashabahem, the common denominator of all of these Yamim Tovim that appear in the Megillas Tainus is that all of them revolved about the Beis HaMikdash. Everything had something to do with either they donated gates to the Beis HaMikdash, they improved the Hakrovas HaKarbonas. The Gemara says when the Tzdukim were running the Beis HaMikdash and the Bai Sheni, so they used to bring the Karbonas Musaf and Manshavu is always on a Sunday. They always celebrated Pentecost on a Sunday. Mochas HaShabbos. And then when the Chachamim took over, so they straightened it out, so they straightened out the HaKrovas HaKorbanos. When things went wrong in the Beis HaMikdash, or when the Chashmonaim had a victory, So they celebrated the Yontif. Why? The victory, not that you make a Yontif whenever you have a military victory. Military victory means that they preserve the Beis HaMikdash from destruction. The Goyim were going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, so the Chashmonaim protected it, and they prevented it from being destroyed. So that's an Indian to celebrate. It says in the Chumash that when Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan, they celebrated. It says in the Navi, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis Rishon, they celebrated for 14 days. And then it says, when Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, they celebrated for 21 days. Then it says, Lasi Lov, we're going to build the third Beis HaMikdash, we're going to celebrate a half a year, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan until after Sukkot. It's going to be a long Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash. So there is an Indian, it says. The Ramban counts that as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. Ramban, both on Chumash and Parshas Nosan and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, counts this as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs, that whenever you build a Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate. You haven't built so many Bat HaMikdashim. But whenever you build a Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate on the occasion. That's a real chiyuv deraisa. And as a kiyum is, whenever you protect the Beis HaMikdash, whenever you straighten out the avodas HaKarbonos and so on. So here, the Gemara quotes a passage from that Megillah Steinis, that when this court case was resolved, the Gemara says the 24th day of Nisan, that's when the court, that the Africans came to Alexander the Great, and they had a case against the Jewish people, that they want to divide Eretz Yisrael, like the Palestinians. They say, why is it called Palestine? Because it belongs to the Palestinians. So we are the Palestinians. That was a big mistake. When was it? Just 20 years ago, when they started calling them the Palestinians. That gave them a Pesach to claim that Palestine is theirs. It's their country was never called Palestine, and they were never Palestinians. The whole thing is a bluff. Eretz Yisrael was never, at the time of the, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, then the Goyim started to call them Palestine. So we should have objected at that time. We shouldn't have allowed them to call them Palestine. And then 20 years ago, they started to call these people Palestinian. So they put two and two together. They say, we're the Palestinians, so we deserve to get Palestine. They're not Palestinians, and it's not Palestine. The whole thing is Shekhar v'Chazal. So these guys, the Kenainim came and they said, in the Chumash, in the Tanakh, it's called Eretz Kenai. And we are the Kenainim. There's Kenainim, Chite Amer, Priest Vayus Vagigoshi, all the others, Havnish Kentaina. Because the first Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Medrash. So that's what the Mefarshim said. The Knanim say it's called Eretz Kenan, and we are Kenan. So you put two and two together, so we, like the Palestinians, deserve to get Palestine. So that was the Taina that they had. So they had a court case by Alexander the Great. So this, again, this Gvei Ben Psisa, he said he's going to respond on behalf of the Jewish people. So he responded and he said, it says in the same Bible, we're recording the Psukim from the Chumash, it says in the Chumash, Or Kenan, Eved Avodim Yiyeh Liyachov. So what's the din if there's an Eved? So apparently this is a universal din, an international din. Kol Masha Kona Eved, Kona Rabba. If you have an other... So that's what the Mefarshim said. The Knanim say it's called Eretz Kenan, and we are Kenan. So you put two and two together, so we, like the Palestinians, deserve to get Palestine. So that was the Taina that they had. So they had a court case by Alexander the Great. So this, again, this Gvei Ben Psisa, he said he's going to respond on behalf of the Jewish people. So he responded and he said, it says in the same Bible, we're recording the Psukim from the Chumash, it says in the Chumash, Or Kenan, Eved Avodim Yiyeh Liyachov. So what's the din if there's an Eved? So apparently this is a universal din, an international din. Kol Masha Kona Eved, Kona Rabba. If you have an Odom who owns an Eved, so any property that's owned by the Eved really belongs to the Odom. So fine, Eretz Yisrael belongs to Kenan. But Kenan belongs to Shem. Eved Avodim Yiyeh Liyachov. So since Kenan belongs to Shem and we are the Bnei Shem, so therefore we own Eretz Yisrael. So that was the end of that claim. So it's not to be understood exactly why did they make a Yontif that should be celebrated, a Yontif in Megillah Steinis. What did this have to do with the Beis HaMikdash?
You have to leave Eretz Yisrael.
I mean, they would lose the Beis HaMikdash. That's what you have to say. The concern was they wanted the Makom HaMikdash, like now. The Palestinians want the Makom HaMikdash. So that was the Taina then, apparently. They want the Makom HaMikdash. So by this argument, they saved it, so it shouldn't be taken away by the Yehud Masoil. To give away the Makam HaMikdash to the Goyim is also called Anocha Churban. On top of the Churban, then we have this another Churban, to give it away to the Goyim. So the Gemara quotes, these were two court cases that they had. In our Gemara it says, Shul Pamachas, on another occasion, and the Vilna Gaon crosses it out, it's Nimchak, the tiny letter Aleph on the Gros. It's not a different case. This was one after the other on the same occasion. Because the Gemara ends off, Os Hashana Shvi Yis Hoysel. It was a Shnas HaShmita. They end off on both two stories. That it was Nishnas HaShmita. So the Vilna Gaon assumes that it was on the same occasion. It wasn't two different occasions. What's the significance of mentioning that it was Shnas HaShmita, stand for identification purposes? They don't tell you which Shmita. So it doesn't identify too much. So the Maharsha gives a pshat that others dingzach with. The Maharsha thinks that the pshat in that line is the following, that this was a Yeshua min HaShemayim. Every Shnas HaShmita is always a problem for the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. You don't plant anything, so nothing grows, and there's no food. But there are goyim who live in Eretz Yisrael, so they plant to their heart's content. They're not, it's not from the Sheva Mitzvahs and half. They can plant whatever they want. So these chevra were preparing for their court case with Alexander the Great. So they owned property in Eretz Yisrael, which they were working. They planted, and there were pears growing in their area. And then when they lost the court case, then it says that they ran away. They ran away because they were afraid that Alexander the Great was going to punish them. So they ran away. So that was a rebach for the Eden. Because Eden had no food to eat in Shnas HaShmita, and now these goyim on both occasions. The Nochrim had planted by the first case, where the Knainim claimed that Eretz Canaan belongs to them, and the second case, where the Africans claim that they are descendants from the Egyptians and want back all the money that the Jews took at the time of Eretz Yisrael Mitzrayim. So these two stories both happened in Shnas HaShmita. So the Marsha thinks that the Pshat was that was a Rebbe for the Eden. Happened Shnas HaShmita, when they ran away, Baruch Olahem. That's how it says. Liad Henichas are the same Kishem Zruas. They left the fields that were planted in Krameng, Shem the Tuas, Ubarchu. And they ran away and they left the fields. Rosh Hashanah, Shvi Yisoysa, so the Eden took over the field. That's how the Marshal says. Other Mepharshim are not so happy about that Pshat. Where does it say in the Gemara that these Africans and that these, and that the Nochrim had a Chelik in Africa? Where does it say they had farms in Eretz Yisrael? They had farms in Africa, not in Eretz Yisrael. So they reinterpret the whole Pshat in the Gemara. But the Marsha thinks that that's the Parshim Shah. Then the Gemara quotes the third story also. Also by Alexander, a court case in front of Alexander. Shum Pamachas, another occasion, Bo B'nei Yishmael B'nei Keturah. The Arabs came to have a court case with the Jewish people. So they said, look, when a man dies, you have to divide the Yerusha, even Stephen. You have to divide among all the children. So they said, no, Avraham Avinu had a few children. So one son was Yitzchak, one son was Yishmael. So they're entitled also to Yerusha. So why did the Jews steal the whole Eretz Yisrael? We want to share in Eretz Yisrael. So the response was given. The response was given that it says in the Chumash, the father has a right to leave its avoy to be chayvik nechosam al piv. I want to give the English books to this child and the Sifrei Kodesh to this child and the factory to this one and the money in the bank to that one. He can be chayvik nechosam al piv however he wants to. And no one has a right to have any tainus later on. So here, Avraham Avinu says, "Vayitan Avraham's kolah shalom beYitzchak." He gave everything to Yitzchak. Minati lakshin mashali Avraham nasan Avraham matanis. He gave them something. So it says beferish in the Chumash. The whole taina that they had is based on the Chumash. That's what he argued back. This was the same person. Gevir ben Psis is the one who argued out all three cases in front of Alexander the Great. So he says, your whole argument is based on the Chumash. I'll respond based on the Chumash. He says, it says in the Chumash that Avraham Avinu gave them matanis. So he gave everything to Yitzchak. Yeah. This is always the claims, all the complaints against the Jewish people are always based on a half-truth. They told half of the story, they left out the rest of the story. They tell the story that the Jews took the matanis before Yitzchak was out. Why don't they say the story they're working for 430 years? Sure. That they left out the other half of the story. That it's Eretz Canaan, and their Canaanim said they're entitled. They left out the other half, or Canaan, Eben Avan. They always leave out half of the story. That's what some of the Farshim point out on Parshas Bilam. That when Balak wants Bilam to curse the Bnei Yisrael, so he keeps on saying, I'm going to bring it to a location, Ephos Katzel Tira V'chud Olosir. You won't be able to see all the Jewish people, you'll be able to see some of them. The Kovna Li Misham, I curse them from over there. And then it doesn't work. He starts giving a broch. He says, I'll take you to another location. And every time he says, you'll see part of the people. Why only part of the people? So the Mefarshim say, if you look at the whole totality of the Jewish people, it's not shaykh to give a kalala. The Yidin are bruchim. If you look at part of the people, you can single out. There are crooks, and there are people that violate all the aseres hadibros and more, and so on. So there are tainus on individual people. There are tainus on groups of the Jews. But if you look at the whole picture, bichlaluso, so there wouldn't be any tainus. That's the gist of all of the stories. That they were picking on a half a story. They left out the second half of the story.
So how come Chazal themselves, the Chumash themselves, couldn't pick up the tainus? Why did they have to say that?
I don't know.
There's a kind of that. He says, file the rules, you could always find that I'm not, I wasn't represented.
No, but he wants to know, why didn't the Tanoim say that? Why did they need Gvei Ben Psisa to come up with this Einfach? I don't know. Stama, they didn't know how to deal with Goyim. They didn't know what argument would work, what argument wouldn't work. Stama, he had dealings with the Nachum, so he knew that this was going to work. He thought that this would work. If you tell me to represent the Jewish people in a debate against the Galach, I wouldn't know where to begin. You have to have someone who speaks the same language. He found it. He spoke the same language.
Rashi brings there, by building the Kotzen, the, not the Tzadik, the inferior element.
Muktzim Shabbat. Right. Right. Here there's a famous kasha which the Maharsha quotes. There is a din in the Gemara in Bava Basra. You're not permitted to be Maver Nachle. If you have a few sons, even if one son is a bro Bisha, one is a bro Tava, one is a good child, one is a bad child, you're not allowed to be Maver Nachle. Gemara tells the story that Yosi ben Yoezer was a Tana who lived in the days of the Beis Hamikdash. He had a son who was not a Tana. The son wasn't interested in becoming a Tana. So he was a Fruma Balabos, collect film, you know. So he was so upset why his son didn't become a Tana, so he was Maver Nachle. He didn't have so much money to his name. So his $20 that he had to his name, he left it to the Beis Hamikdash. And the other Tanaim said, you're not allowed to do that, it's not permissible. Maver Nachle is also, even a bro Bisha, even a bad son, he's not a Balaber, he's just a Nishkan Tana. So a Balabos, what's wrong with the former Balabos? So he didn't listen to the other Tanaim. And then the Gemara says, after he died, so that son became a nice, fine, former Balabos. And during his lifetime, he donated more to the Beis Hamikdash than his father ever gave. So the Gemara says that it's not permissible. So here, the Maharsha quotes that kasha from Abel Mizrahi in his Pirush on Chumash. That's a long Pirush on Rashi, Alatar. He has the kasha, the Rishonim has the kasha. That's Ken Bali Atesis, the other Bali Atesis, they all has that kasha. How is Avraham Avinu permitted to be Baba Nachla? It says, Mamish in the Pasuk. That's Vitan Avraham's Kolosh Aloli Yitzchok. He favored one son, he gave everything to Yitzchak, and then he gave peanuts to the other. Isn't that a violation of the din that you're not allowed to be Maver Nachle? So they give different suggestions. So the simplest answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu ki b'Yitzchak yikor lecha zera, that the only one who's there Avraham is Yitzchak. So the others attack if biologically his children, but al pi din they're not called zera. So he's told me they include him in that pasuk is that there's no din of being Maver Nachle over here. If only Yitzchak is the Zera, the others are not. It means that they're inferior level of a child. So the Pashtun says that there is no din of being Maver Nachle.
What do you mean Maver Nachle? L'chaim or L'chamisa?
It was L'chamisa. He says, when I die,
he's
giving the whole Eretz Yisrael to Yitzchak. It's Talmud Bala, Avraham Avinu was alive, he wanted to maintain Eretz Yisrael.
He says the Matunas he gave when he was alive. He sent them out, he sent them away, and gave them Matunas.
Right, so what did he give to Yitzchak? He gave him a note. Shtamatana, that when I die, you get the whole Eretz Yisrael. They tell me we should divide Eretz Yisrael equally because we're all children. So he says, no, when Avraham Avinu died, Avraham Avinu Mistama owned Eretz Yisrael till the day that he died. After he died, then it went to Yerusha only to Yitzchak because he determined that it should only go to Yitzchak. So the Mefarsh Machlomish, the Bali Atayz, have different answers. Some say that this was Yitzchak was the child from his wife and the others were children from the Pilakshim. So some Shaim think that plays a role. Why should that play a role? If he's the father, what's the difference whether he's married fully with the mother or he's not married fully with the mother? But if they're children, they're all his children. But if you say this answer that some Shaim say, it says, Ki b'Yitzchak kor lecha zera, only Yitzchak and not the others. So there's a difference in the zera. He's the only one as a full child. The others are a lower madrega of a child. Then the Gemara goes, Me'inyan, Le'inyan, other things. The Gemara has about Antonina, Anthony and Cleopatra, so everybody has something to say over here. So the Gemara has that there are different in Yonim and Hashkafe and Emunah that Rabbi Yudal Nasi picked up from Antoninus. The Gemara where it is on, the first pair of course, that Antoninus used to visit Rabbi every day, and he used to talk in Hashkafa and learning. He picked up a lot. So here the Gemara also says that Rabbi was masking with certain things that he heard from Antoninus. So Antoninus posed the question, it's a funny question, why does the sun go from east to west? So the Gemara said that's not exactly the question. The Gemara touches up the question. The Gemara said, you'll ask the, and if the sun would go from the west to the east, that's the same question. Same question. It has to go some direction. So the Gemara finally, however they word the question, they touch up the question. So the Gemara has an interesting answer. Rabbi answers Antoninus that the answer is that Shechina b'mayrav, that's how Rashi says. And the sun is bowing down to the Shechina. The sun goes from east to west. B'chom mishtachli. The sun goes from east to west, it's bowing down to the Shechina. That's the question. What is that? That's a Gemara in Baba Basra. In the second parak, I think that Shechina b'mayrav. What does that mean, Shechina b'mayrav? Shechina is all over. We say the Shechina is in the Beis HaMikdash. We daven, we don't daven. Gemara seems to say that there was an opinion that you should always daven facing Mayrav wherever you are in the world. To face Mayrav because the Shechina is considered as if it's b'mayrav. We don't accept that. We follow Tfilah Shlomo, that we follow Allah Derech HaBayis HaZeh, Derech HaRetz, and Derech HaYirazos. We always face the Beis HaMikdash when we daven. We don't always face Mayrav. Once in a while, we face Mayrav on the assumption that the Shechina is the Mayrav. Moshe Feinstein claims in his Tshuvas that the reason why we turn around for Lecha Doidi is because we're facing Mizrach. When you daven, you're looking forward towards Mizrach. Then when you say Goy V'Shalom, you're not only greeting Shabbos, you're greeting the Shechina. You're greeting the Shechina, and since the Shechina is the Mayrav, so you turn around to the Mayrav to greet the Shechina. Ramesh claims it is an accepted opinion. Despite the fact that we don't face Mayrav when we daven Shmoneh Esrei, Rashi says in the Gemara and in Baba Basra, what's the issue with the Shechina and Mayrav or not? Should you always face Mayrav when you daven Shmoneh Esrei or not? We don't face Mayrav. We face Eretz Yisrael. Wherever you live in the world, you face, like Shlomo HaMelech said, it's Baba Lecha Derech HaBayis HaZeh. But nonetheless, Rashi writes, nonetheless, Rav Moshe assumes that we do accept that position, that Shechina is the Mayrav. Whatever that means, what do you mean Shechina is Mayrav? The Bashlam doesn't have a body. What does it mean? I mean, figuratively, it's not to be taken literally, figuratively as if Shechina is the Mayrav. So that's the idea that Rebbe tells Antoninus, that the fact that the sun goes that way is Tzva Shaman V'chamish Tachmim, as if the sun is bowing down to the Shechina, which is b'mayrav. Then they have a discussion as to when the neshama, when does the baby get a neshama, when does the baby get a yetzahar. So an interesting discussion. Then the Gemara has weiter a discussion after Tchias HaMeisim. This is a discussion in Rishayim. Very strange. Rambam and Ramban have a discussion after Tchias HaMeisim. What's going to happen then? Then the people are going to live 70, 80 years. Then they're going to die again. Or no? After Tchias HaMeisim, they live on forever. Whatever that means. What do you mean forever? So the Gemara has such a discussion. Here the Gemara has Ula Rami on the second wide line. Here on the first very wide line on the daf, on the side of Galifam base. Ula Rami, Ula had a contradiction, an apparent contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk says, Bilam Avislam Netzach, Mahach Hashem Dimum Yalkot Panim, Bilam Avislam Netzach. Death will no longer exist. Means after Tchias HaMeisim, people are not going to die again, period. The other pasuk says, Fakir. When a person will die at the age of 100, you're going to say, a youngster. He died a youngster. In other words, people live longer. Now, people die at the age of 100. That's an arichas yom rishon. He lost his love. You have to tchias amesim. Ki anar b'mea shana yom. If someone's going to die at the age of 100, they'll say he was very young when he died. So, stachastira. The one pasuk says, no one's going to die. The other pasuk says, we are going to die. So the rishonim have machlokes how to deal with this. They all ignore the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Loi kashe, Ula. Ula says, the teretz to this apparent contradiction is, Kam Yisrael, Kam Biyof the Gehom, as was, that the Israelim will live on forever and ever. The Yidin are not going to die after Tchias HaMeisim. And the Nochem, who will have a Tchias HaMeisim, they will die. So what are the Nochem doing there after Tchias HaMeisim? There's Tchias HaMeisim for the Nochem also. Gemara says, Chassidim Sodom have a Chelk and Olam Abba. Olam Abba, same as Tchias HaMeisim. Machlek is the Rambam and the Ramban. What does it mean, the Nochem? So the Gemara says, what are the Nochem going to be doing over there? Everything more. Well, you need a Shabbos guy. You need a babysitter, you need someone to do the work.
Well, you have a walk-in all night.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, it says, V'yom d'zor v'roh tzonach v'vnei nech eri karech l'karmechem. He's going to need Nachrim to work on the farm. He's going to need Nachrim to raise the behemoths, to do work for us. So the Nachrim will have a Tchias HaMesim in order to help B'nai Yisrael. And those Nachrim will have a Tchias HaMesim, they're going to die in an old age. And the Eden will live on forever. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Then the Gemara has it, so the Gemara gets involved in an issue because of a stir between two psukim. What's going to be? Will the sun and the moon be shining then the same way they shine now? Will it shine even brighter than now? Or will they be faded out because you won't need any lights at all? The tzaddikim will be shining so much, or the shechina will be shining so much, that the sun and the moon won't give any illumination at all. So Rav Chisda considered this a contradiction. He said there seems to be a contradiction. On the one hand, the pasuk says, the chofer halabon avos shachama ki molach Hashem tzvokas, the Shechina will be there, and the sun and the moon won't be giving any illumination at all. They'll be outshining. They'll be outshining the sun. And the other pasuk says, not so. This or halabon will be like or hachama, the moon will shine the same as the sun. And the sun will shine seven times, Shiva Sayim Kyo Shiva Sayyam. Seven times as bright as it shows now, like it was shining in the days of Briya Sayyam. Rashi says in the beginning of Bereshit, he quotes the Medrash, that the Rabbanu Shalom saw the ore, that it's not right that the Rishayim should use it, Amad Vigonzalat Sadikim, so the ore Achama that we use today is only 1/7 of what it used to be. So on the one hand, the Pasuk says that the sun and the moon will be shining to a brighter extent than now. The other Pasuk seems to contradict it. It says that Kimalach Hashem Tzorgas, the Shechina will be shining, or the Tzadikim will be shining. So which is it? So first the Gemara suggests that Teretz, Loikash Kalimos HaMashiach Kali Olam Abba. The Mos HaMashiach, the sun and the moon will be brighter than now. All of Teva will be different. The sun and the moon will be brighter, and everything in the world is going to be on a different Madrega. But the Olam Abba, that's Gor. The Olam Abba, you won't need any illumination from the sun and the moon. All the Shechina will be shining. Then the Gemara says, but that should depend on a machloikis and brachis, in a few places, whether do we really assume there's going to be a major change, limos ha-mashiach or not. So Shmuel, the Rambam has adapted Shmuel's opinion. Ein v'ra'al ma'azel limos ha-mashiach ha-leshibut goliyos bovad. The other lashon, leshibut malchiyos bovad. The only difference that's going to happen, limos ha-mashiach is going to be, there won't be anti-Semitism. They won't be harassing the Jews. They'll let us live in peace. They won't start up with us. But the nature of the world is not going to change. Teva is not going to change. And the other Amoraim disagreed. They thought, no, there's going to be major changes in Teva. So the Rambam has adopted the position of Shmuel and others, Halkman Faket. So the Gemara says, this Teretz that we just suggested, Le'imos HaMashiach, the sun and the moon will be shining much brighter than at present, but Le'olam Abba is going to be outshined by the Shechina. You won't even need any sun and the moon. This is only Nitan Le'Hayomer. If you subscribe to that position, that there will be major changes in Teva, Limos HaMashiach. But if you adopt a position like Shmuel says, that Teva is not going to change, Limos HaMashiach, so that Teretz is no good. Daf Mezongan Ananda Teretz. They're both Psukim go and Olam Abba. V'loika Shekam Machna Tzadik Nechkam Machna Shechina. Right, so Rashi works it out. So this is a question, what does this mean? There are Psukim that say the Gor Zev and Keves, and so on. So the Rambam claims that all of that is a mashal. The Rambam quotes those Mefarshim on Tanakh who say that all of this is a mashal because we have adopted, he claims we have adopted the position of Shmuel that Teva is not going to change. So the Pesukim just means it's going to be peaceful. There won't be any Melchamas in the world. It'll be a major change itself. It's going to be peaceful, but that's not a change in Teva. That's a change in human nature, but not a change in the Teva heart. And other Tanaim and Amoraim held not so. There is the famous parsha in the end of Yecheskel. It says that Lasi Lovai, they're going to start bringing korbanos when they build the Bais HaShlishi. They'll start bringing korbanos on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. It doesn't say which year. It just says Rosh Chodesh Nissan. That's Be'ito. It's possible Achi Shena. Maybe it'll be earlier. But the Be'ito state then is going to be Rosh Chodesh Nissan. And then it says which korbanos they're going to bring on Shabbos and on Yom Tov and on Rosh Chodesh doesn't correspond living or dead to what it says in the Chumash. So the Gemara says that this was a problem. So Bikshu Lignos Sefer Yecheskel. The Tanoim were considering not including Yecheskel into the Tanakh, into the Kisei HaKadosh. The Psukim in Yecheskel, the other Psukim also seem to contradict what it says in the Chumash. And then the Gemara says they worked it out and they decided the Yecheskel is Baruch HaKadosh Nemra. It is authentic. So they did incorporate Yecheskel into the Kisra HaKadosh. So there are 24 Sifri HaTanach, including Yecheskel. So what's Taka, the Yishuv on the Psukim? The Karbonis that are described there for Shabbos and Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh don't correspond to the Karbonis that in the Chumash. So one Amor in the Gemara says, Mikraza Asad Eliyahu Ledarsh. Eliyahu Hanavi is going to give an interpretation. What does that mean? It's unclear. And the other Amor says, no. Miluim Heviyu, Miluim Yaviyu, Kederach Sheviyu, just like in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. There was Shiva Simea Miluim for the last 7 days in Chodesh Adar. They were celebrating on the occasion of completion of the Binyan HaMishkan. And then in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, they celebrated Shivas Yomim and Mishivas Yomim, and then they celebrated, when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, it says they celebrated for 21 days, for 3 weeks. So the Asad Lava, they'll bring these korbanos that I mentioned in the end of Yecheskel. That's not the Tamidim himself, that's in addition to the Tamidim himself. These are all for the Chanukah HaMizbech, for the Chanukah HaBayis. It's going to be a long Chanukah HaBayis for half a year, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan until after Sukkot, and these are the extra korbanos that they bring over and above the Tamidim himself for the purpose of the Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash. So the Malbim in the end of Yecheskel has a long Arichas. Kedarka Machta Kansa Cheshbon. Why was it that in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu they celebrated 7 days Shivas Yomim Miluim? Why was it that in the days of Shlomo HaMelech they celebrated Shivas Yomim and Shivas Yomim 2 weeks? And why is the Bayis HaSheni was for 3 weeks, for 21 days? Why is Lasi Lava? What's the Cheshbon? If that's 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it should be 4 weeks. How come it became over half a year? So Machta Kansa calculation why it should be so. So that's one comment that the Malbim has. Then he has another interesting comment. He says, what was the Machlekes in the Gemara? When the Mikra is Osed Eliyahu LeDarsho, what's Eliyahu going to say? Eliyahu HaNavi is going to say Pshat in the Pasuk. The second opinion is that they'll bring Miluim Kederach Sheheviyu B'mei Shlomo. They'll bring, these are the Korbanos over and above the Tmirim Umsav. So the Malbim says that we assume as an Iker Amunah Shezos HaTar Lo'osim Mochlefes. We assume that the laws of the Torah are not going to change. The Rambam lists as an Iker Amunah because the Christians claim that they had a Navi and he came and he changed all the laws, and Muhammad came and he changed all the laws. So the Rambam says an Iker Amunah is that there isn't going to be another Navi that's going to change the law. So the Rambam considers this an Iker Amunah. So the Malbim claims that that's an Iker Amunah because we have accepted the position of Shmuel that Ein Beram Azal Mosa Mashiach the Shibud Goli is Bavad, that there isn't going to be a change in Teva. So just like we assume there's not going to be a change in Tev, there's not going to be a change in Halacha. But he claims, according to the other opinions in the Tanoim and Amoraim, who thought that the Pesukim had to be taken literally, that Limos HaMashiach, there'll be major changes in Tev, but the Gor Zev and Kevis is to be taken literally, not just a Moshel that is going to be peaceful, but it's to be taken literally. So there's going to be major changes in Teva. So he says, well, Dinami, there'll be changes in Halacha. So he thinks that Mikrozeh, Osir Eliyahu L'Darshim, means Eliyahu Novi will come and tell us that the Ribbon Shalom changed the Dinah. Very surprising. He says the Rambam was miyaseh this ikir in amuna. Shazos hatar lo'osim machlefes is because l'shitosa the Rambam has adopted the position of Shmuel that the teva is not going to change. Should we assume that there's a correlation between teva and the mitzvah satara? The same Rabbeinu Shel Olam who created the world gave us the aseres hadibus and all the dinei hatara, and there's a correlation between the two. So if Teva is going to change, then the Din HaTorah will change. It's questionable whether that's so or not, but that's what he claims.
You say Stakal Eliyahu Baruch Hu, so the Torah is the blueprint. It's a different world.
Should have a different blueprint. Okay, that's what he thinks.
Yeah.
The Pashup Shat and Nat Gemara Mitzvahs B'Telus Salas Alav is just talking about the Mesim after Tchias HaMesim, the people who will be alive then because they were born and they never died and they never came back there. So the Pashup Shat and Gemara, they are going to have to observe all the Mitzvahs from A to Z. It's just Mesim Chavshim, that's the debate. Mesim calls Mana Mesim, of course they're Chavshim, I don't need a Pasuk. The Pasuk tells me even after the Mesim come back to life, there's still Chavshim in our Mitzvahs. That's another thing. If you have a shaila in halacha and it's ongenumen b'chol tfutzis Yisrael one way, it's So even Eliyahu Navi can't come and reverse the Psak. That's the Psak, so that's the Psak. That's what Moshe Feinstein says on other dinim also. If we ungenumen that this is the din, so this is the din. Ungenumen all over the world. So you can't reverse a psak. That was a kubah. We have in different generations, you have Mishnah Achrayim, Mishnah Mishnah, used to reverse the psak every 50 years. The earlier Tanaim held like this, and later Tanaim reversed the psak. There were issues before the Second World War where the majority of the Rabbanim held one way, and after the Second World War, the majority of the Rabbanim hold Fakir, Choshen Rabban. The Psak has Hishtalshulis in different generations, they pass them differently. But Rav Moshe claims this Gemara means to say that others learn the Gemara differently, that Eliyahu HaNavi can't come and give any Psakim based on Roh HaKadosh. That's what it means. Loi b'shamayim. I think Rashi says that. Loi b'shamayim. But Rav Moshe doesn't learn the Gemara like that. He learns that the Gemara means a Psak that's ungunum in B'chol Tfutzis Yisrael. You can't shake up that. You can't have a later bezin reverse that psak. It's a different shot. It's a different gemara.
According to the view that meisim would be part of a mitzvahs, why would you give truma to Aaron HaKohen?
No.
Is mitzvah to either give to a kohen who's b'tam a mitzvah when he eats it?
Why should you give it to a kohen who's only volunteering? That's a good kasha. I think the Achrayim do talk about it. So the Stechemet quotes a discussion of this. He quotes a few Achrayim. Some want to distinguish between mitzvah sesse and mitzvah loy sesse. The Gemara discusses mitzvah stelis losi lovai with respect to shatnez. That's a loy sesse. So in a loy sesse, there is no concept of ein mitzvah v'yesen. That's the Maralmi Prague has like that day. He says that the obis kodem atin Torah volunteered. Kimo kol ha-Torah kol ha-Shalai nitna only goes on mitzvah sesse. And a mitzvah sesse, let's say a woman shakes a lulav. A woman sits in sukkah. A woman volunteers to do a mitzvah seser shas mangam that she's exempt from. So the Gemara says that she gets schar. Just a debate who gets more schar. The ene mitzvah v'yos and the mitzvah v'yos. But you see from the Gemara that there is a kiyuma mitzvah. The Ran says from the fact that she's getting the more schar or less schar, you see that there is a kiyuma mitzvah. The Ran of Kiddushin points that out. So the Maralmi Prague writes in the Gurariya and Chumash. He writes, this concept of Eina Mitzvah Yos only makes sense in the realm of a Mitzvah Sese. And a Mitzvah Sloy Sese, what do you mean, I'm not a Kohen, so I'll volunteer not to go to a Levi. What do you mean, volunteer not to go to a Levi? I have some imitation shrimp. They used to have Mendel Hamish shrimp. I don't know you want it. And the people didn't like it. It wasn't shrimp, it was a kosher fish. They cooked it the same flavor shrimp. So people didn't like it, so they discontinued it. So is there anything wrong with eating Mendel's Hamish shrimp? What's wrong? If it's kosher, it's kosher. What are you going to say? Let's say, if it's mutter to shave with an electric shave, is he going to say, well, ain't a mitzvah, yes, I'm not going to shave with an electric shave. There are those who hold that it's also, if it's also, it's also. But hold it's mutter, what are you going to volunteer? And ain't a mitzvah, yes, what do you mean? If it's mutter, it's mutter. It makes sense, ain't a mitzvah, yes, and a mitzvah, yes, I'm not b'chiv to do the mitzvah. But if I volunteer it, so there's still, sometimes there is a kima mitzvah, sometimes there's not a kima mitzvah. Let's say I'm not a kohen, I'll go duchen. So most assume that there's no kima mitzvah. You don't say he gets schar as an enemy mitzvah, if the non-kohen duchen. So we assume that there's no schar over there, that's an isa. And sometimes we assume that there is schar, there is a kima. So just like the Maralmi Prague makes this distinction regarding the obvious kohen matan Torah, they were neither nitztavu on the mitzvah sesen nor on the mitzvah loyses. They don't have the shevet mitzvahs v'ninoch. Plus the mitzvah mila, they didn't have any more. Afrashas truma, okay, that's all, they didn't have too much more. So nonetheless, it made sense to volunteer the mitzvah sesse, but he claims it didn't make sense to volunteer the loy sesse. So who are the nami? That's what the Stechemet quotes, some Achrayim say, that the mason lost it love, to wear shatnes, that's had to gomer. What's the problem? Because it doesn't make sense to volunteer as an ene mitzvah v'yos and not to violate an isa. But to observe the mitzvah sesse, that does make sense. I think he brings this right from Aaron HaKohen. If you should assume Mason Chopshin, the Aaron HaKohen is not mitzvah in the mitzvah of eating truma, and nonetheless he's going to volunteer it as an Eina mitzvah yaisa. So you see that there is an Indian to do the mitzvah sese, but not the mitzvah slice. You still have an eyes and a kasha. Wouldn't it make more sense to give the truma to a kohen who was born a kohen? He's still alive, he didn't die yet. So he'll be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. Say a bracha, shekedishan, b'kedushas shal Aaron. It's Yivon Amal Achilas Truma. Why should you give it to Aaron HaKohen? He's only volunteering in Eidah Mitzvah V'yaisa. It's only one, you only have so much Truma. If you have leftover Truma, you're going to throw it in the garbage. Instead of throwing it in the garbage, give it to Aaron HaKohen and he'll volunteer with Eidah Mitzvah V'yaisa. But you don't have so much Truma. So So why not give it? It's still a very good kasha. Why not give it to the kohen who's mitzuyos? I don't know. It's a good kasha. Says that it is okay. Torah approves it. Shaila is why. He's asking on the Rebbe Shalom. Shaila is why. It's still a good kasha. No, you're saying it's a very shepas. Okay. That's the din haste. Okay.
So it's not
shaykh
to
you to mark
the
rest of
slices?
So assume it's sugar,
you thought it
passed
halki,
but it's good. Yeah, that's, you mean it's a machlaikas. When is a machlaikas? Right, right. So we're choshish for the, it's considered a sophic. As a midas chasidus, it makes sense to be choshish for shita sayachid. All year long there is such a concept. That there are chasidim anshin maisa, choshish for shita sayachid. And that's a p'china of speka deraisa l'chum. So on Aseres Meitshuva, all year long, even those who eat paspalter, on Aseres Meitshuva, they want to be machmen, not to follow that kula, because of it is a whopper of a kula. The whole paspalter story is a big kula. So they're choshish for that sheep. Yeah. Is there such a thing in Aseres Meitshuva to be machmen for something that's mamish het gomer, that there's no sheep there against? That's a question. So there's a Mishnah Brura quotes, the Shulchan Aruch quotes an opinion that you're not allowed to be matmin acholin, an erev Yom Kippur, that it should sit in your crock pot the whole Yom Kippur, and you'll have what to eat, warm food on Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote, there is an opinion that you're not allowed to do this. And Mishnah Brura asks, why not? What's the issue? So he quotes, because an aseres made shivu be machme yun an dvar mamator. So that's very unusual. Dvar mamator, there's no shita? There's no one who says that it's us. Bish leiva this. This in, you know, paspalta has a big machlokes in the Gemara with it. Pasakim is awesome. Paspalta, the heter wasn't so glad. Okay, pasakim is awesome. Vishum chasmas. Aseres Meitshuva, there are people marrying sheiks in Aseres Meitshuva too. It's a chashash on Aseres Meitshuva also. Chashash on Aseres Meitshuva also. I think, if I'm not mistaken, when Kissinger got married to the sheiks, he got married on Shabbos. I don't think it was Shabbos Shuva. He got married on Shabbos to the sheiks. His father sat shiva, and the mother went to the chasen. Why? Because chorus?
You have three choruses. You say one should apply to his name, but that chorus would apply to
No, but he's punished then. He's not going to have a Tchiyas HaMeisim because of the Avera that he did today. He did an Avera today, so he's going to be punished by Olam HaZeh. He'll die younger, and he won't be Zechet to Tchiyas HaMeisim. He won't be Zechet to Olam HaBo. All three Madregas will be punished each time. That's the Kasha that the Mashoy asks on their own. Then the Gemara on the bottom has, on Tzadik Aleph HaMeis, all on the bottom, the Gemara talks about three lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav, Kol HaMenei Halacha Mipi Talmud. A person learns a lot of Torah, and he doesn't want to transmit the Torah to others. He wants to hoard all the knowledge for himself. So the Gemara complains, Kilo Goizle Minachlas Avoisle. He's a Gazlan, because the Torah belongs to my Russia, like a Yerusha. A Yerusha, a lot of people make a mistake. They think the rich uncle died, so all the money is Hefker, and Kolakayim Zacher. It's not so. When the rich uncle died, there are rules and regulations where the Yerusha goes. And if one cousin takes a penny more than he's entitled to, it's Gzela, unless they're Mavata to each other. But a lot of times they're not about it. People just come in. When someone dies, they come in and they grab Kol HaKodim Zohar, and it doesn't become, unless it's like Gersh and Meis, Vein LaYosh, and then it becomes Efter. So the Gemara says here, the Torah is a Yerusha to all the Klal Yisrael. If I'm going to hoard all the knowledge, and I'm not going to want to share it with anybody else, so the Gemara says, he's Kila Goizla Minachalas Avayis, the Torah Tzivu Lala Masha Marosha Kilas Yankiv. The Gemara says, why? Marosha hi l'chol Yisrael misheshis yimei bereshis. Vospa loshen ados. Misheshes Yimei Bereshis. Why Misheshes Yimei Bereshis? So Rashi writes a comment based on the pasuk Bereshis Bara Lekim. The Rashi and Chumash writes Bereshis Bara Lekim means Bishvo Yisrael Shenikru Reshis Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reshis Tvuasai and Mishlo Torah Shenikru Reshis Hashem Kamani Reshis Darkoi. So Rashi and Chumash quotes that. So that's how he interprets this Gemara. The Torah belongs to all of Klal Yisrael from Sheshes Meibreshes, that the initial plan was that the world was created Bishvu Yisrael who Bishvil HaTorah. So the original plan was that the Torah should belong to all of Klal Yisrael. Others interpret the Gemara, I think the Marshoah, the Yehu and Yankel, they interpret the Gemara differently. Sheshes Meibreshes means that it's built into Teva, Sheis Bei Breishis means what's built into Teva. Teva has it that Torah belongs to the Jewish people. That's by Teva. It doesn't necessarily mean that that was a taklus of the Riyah. That's also true. But it's a different angle. And then the Gemara says, terrible curses, if a person has no right to learn the Rabbanu Shalom's Torah if he plans to hoard it for himself. He has to share the knowledge with others. The Gemara has in Brochus and other Masechtas, the Gemara quotes the Pesach in Yirmiyah, I think, Cherev al Abadim de Noalu, Cherev al Serem shel Tamid HaChachamim, a curse to the Tamid HaChachamim Shalom Dim Bad Bevad. What do you mean Shalom Dim Bad Bevad? So some learn the Gemara, a person learns without a chavrusa. That's so terrible that he deserves a punishment. What's so terrible? There are a lot of people who just can't work out with a chavrusa, so they learn by themselves. Chazanish, a lot of times he still learn by himself. Many other people learn by themselves. It doesn't work out to learn the chavrusa. So the Mesilas Yisharim has a different interpretation. Shalom Dim Bad Bevad. They sit in the Dal Rams, the base Medrash. They don't know what's going on in the outside world. So what's so weird about that? So he said, that's what it goes on. Shalom Dim Bad Bevad. They're not in contact with what's going on. I remember once I was sitting and talking. My father used to be a Masada Gittin for many years. On one occasion, he was writing Get in New York, and they were going to send the Get to Argentina, and the Mesiras HaGet was going to be in Argentina, and then in the Sharim Kadmanias, 30, 40 years ago, used to have revolutions every month in Donishtig, and every half a year there was a revolution in Argentina, and all the mail got lost. And my father said, oh, there was just a revolution, so they're going to have to wait a month till it calms down before they send the Get. I thought it was interesting, so I mentioned that once we were sitting and eating in the yeshiva, in the cafeteria, so I mentioned, my father has a Get, and he's going to have to wait till the war. So the Bochum said, there's a war in Argentina? They didn't know what was going on. It's like, they just know from the Gemara, they don't know the new president of the United States and someone was assassinated. They don't know what's going on. So the Mesilas Yisharim thinks that that's the Pshat. Then Rav Soloveitchik, when he learned the Gemara Brachos, he said, it doesn't mean like that. Because he didn't like learning with the Chavrusa either. So he didn't like the Poshim Pshat. So he said, no, Lom Dim Bad Bevad means as opposed to the Galochim, who used to hoard all the knowledge. The Pasuk in Yirmiyah is talking about Galochim, a curse on the Galochim. So as opposed to the Galochim of the other religions, they hoard all the knowledge for themselves and they don't want to transmit any knowledge to the Hamainam. In the Shulchan Aruch, they call the script that the Goyim use Ksav HaGalochim, because the Hamainam didn't know how to read, they didn't know how to write, they were illiterate. So the Torah insists that whoever, you're only allowed to learn Torah if you plan to share it with everybody else. You're not allowed to hoard it for yourself. That's what the pasuk means. So the Gemara says over here, all kinds of curses, all kinds of punishments. If a person he learns Torah, shalei al manas lamamid lacherim, that's a terrible einish. And then the Gemara says, yikvu la'om, ein la'om ela ubrim. The uber is going to curse him. What's the episode? Why is the uber going to curse him? So the commentaries explain, because the Medrash says, the Gemara says in Nida, that the Malach teaches the uber, kala tera kula, before he's born, before all the Yiddish babies. The Pashtus goes on Yiddish babies. Not on Goyish babies. So the Yiddish babies who are learning with the Malach, they're going to be angry. We enjoy learning Torah. We want to continue learning Torah afterwards. What do you mean this guy's going to hoard all the knowledge for himself? Then the Gemara gives another interpretation. Yikvuhu means to curse, or Yikvu means a nekev. He's going to be menakramos of kikvara. His punishment will be that he'll be full of holes like a sieve. What does it mean, full of holes like a sieve? So the Marsho explains, he thinks Pasha Pshat is that if you have a container that has a liquid in it, so it holds all the tea. If you make a hole, it's going to leak out. Make a lot of holes, it's all going to leak out. So the person only has a right to learn Torah if he plans to transmit the Torah knowledge to other people. If he's going to hoard it for himself, the punishment is going to be that he's going to be full of holes and he's going to lose all of the Torah knowledge. Because he has no right to learn the Torah in the first place if he doesn't plan to share it with others. So he thinks that that's the Mashur, thinks that's the Pshat, Menach, the Mosa, Kikvara. His Einish will be that he will lose all of his Torah knowledge because he didn't do what he was supposed to do with it, namely to share it with others.
I think there's a Yerushalmi Pasuk, or Rasha Bo Yochim, this is called Tibet Torah, that he's able to transmit or able to influence. It's also cloud.
Whoever has the ability to be making Torah, right, to get other people to learn, has a bracha, and whoever doesn't has a cloud. Then the Gemara says, and if the person does transmit the Torah that he has to others, maskar, what will be his reward? So the reward will be like Yosef. Ubracha l'rosh mashbir. What does it mean? So I think the Mashor, the others explain. Just like Yosef who are mashbir. Yosef gave food, physical food, to all the people that their body should remain alive. So Torah is spiritual food. Torah is the mazon of the neshamas. That's how it says in the Zohar. The Tanya quotes from the Zohar like that. The Torah is the mazon of the neshamas. So if a person transmits the Torah to others, he's doing on the level of Ruchnius what Yosef HaTzadik did on the level of Gashmius. So he's zoche to all the brachas like Yosef HaTzadik. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. In the end of today's segment by Yelech, the Chumash says that Moshe Rabbeinu completed writing a Sefer Torah. Doesn't mean that that he wrote it all in one day. He was writing all along, and then the day before he died, he completed writing the Sefer Torah, and he gave it to the Shevet Levi, and he told them that they should put it. Satamos of the Aron Bris Hashem, Bahoy Hashem B'chol Yed. They should hold on to the Sefer Torah. This is the aid. What do you mean the aid? So the Pashtus is that we read in the end of Chumash Shmos on the occasion of Maamon HaSinai. So it says that Moshe Rabbeinu read in the presence of Bnei Yisrael the Sefer HaBris. That when you have a Krisis Bris with the Rabbanu Shalom, so you're supposed to have a contract. So what constitutes the contract? So Rashi says there, the Sefer HaBris on the occasion of Maamon HaSinai, they weren't yet, Bnei Yisrael weren't given Aseres HaDibris. They weren't given everything yet. Moshe Rabbeinu was there, but Bnei Yisrael didn't get everything yet. So the Sefer HaBris consisted of Bereishis till that parsha, till the end of Mishpatim, whatever. So at that time, that was the Sefer HaBris. And then, towards the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, before he died, so he says, now it's a different Sefer HaBris. The Sefer HaBris, the contract now, Api Aloch is the whole Torah, Kol HaTorah Kula, from the beginning to the end, that consists of all of the Taryag Mitzvahs. In the days of Avraham Avinu, it was basically an abridged religion, like we were discussing last week. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah bris milah to Avraham Avinu. And he says in the schus that he'll observe bris milah, he's giving Avraham Avinu Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the land where there's more ruchnias than in the other countries. And the bris is the osa bris, or the krisis bris. So what's the krisis bris over? Eretz Yisrael is the place where we're supposed to be. So what constitutes the krisis bris? So it says, Lios l'chol l'kim u'lezarecho acharech. Lios l'chol l'kim means we should have a munah. We have to have a munah, and the Rebbeinu Shalom. U'lezarecho acharech, the Gemara understands, means that a Jew should not intermarry with an ochris. A Jewish man who marries an ochris, so the zara ain't a miyuchas achrav. If a non-Jewish man marries a Jewish woman, so that's less, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's less of a prohibition of intermarriage. Intermarriage is either direction, but if a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, that's a mocham adikadid. Then there are more paskas, that's yahorik v'yavah. If a Jewish woman lives with a non-Jewish man, the children will be eaten, because the mother is a Yiddish. So there are more paskas that such a case is not yahorik v'yavah. That's not considered like Mishum Edis. The reverse is considered the equivalent of Shmad. When a Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman, the children, that's the end of the line, so the children will be Nochem. So that's the Gemara understands, the Yeromas, Daf Kuf, the Gemara says, Lias l'chol l'kim l'zarech acharecha, the Gemara says, what it means is, the lalins of Arma Yosem. So in the days of Avraham Avinu, the Bris Avos was very brief. The Bris Avos was, there was an Oysa Bris, the Mitzvah Milo, but that was the Oysa Bris, and they should all have a Shaykh Esteretz Yisrael, the country which is the country of Ruchnias, that's where we can fulfill the bris with more meaning. And they were commanded not to intermarry in a way that the children will not be Jewish. But what was the essence of the bris? The whole essence of the bris was Emunah, just to believe in the Ikori HaEmunah, and to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just for Halachta B'drachim. That was the whole bris of the Abbas. So originally, on the occasion of Maamon HaSinai, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu read the Sefer HaBris. It was only the bris with the Yovis, but they were going to be getting more mitzvahs. And then, before he died, so then he presented it. The Rebbeinu Shlomo told him to present Bnei Yisrael with the whole Kol HaTorah Kula. So the whole Torah consists of all of the Taryag mitzvahs. The Gemara says in Psochim, the famous Agarta, that when Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the Ketz HaYomim, they taught the reason why, because the children are not roi lekach. Then they all said, what do you mean? Dad, Shema Yisrael, Shema Ken, Shem Echad. We all believe in everything. They have emunah, everything. He knew that they all had a bris milah. He arranged for the bris, and he knew that they all had a shaychus for Eretz Yisrael, and he knew that none of them were intermarried. So the only suffix that he had was whether they had emunah or not. All the other Rikorim from the days of the Avos, he knew that they had. The only thing, he didn't know what's doing in their mind. So he said, Shema Yisrael Shem Echad, we all have Amunah. So Yaakov Avinu gets all excited. His children lived up to everything. They have Eretz Yisrael, and they have the Bris Milah, and none of them are married to Anochri, Shem. Everything is on the level. So young Rina got excited, said, Baruch Shein Kvay Mochus Mamed, Geloi Tzegot, that all of his children are... So excited, Baruch Shein Kvay Mochus Mamed, Geloi Tzegot has killed, his children are 100% on the level, everything's there. Then the Masha says, by the time he came to the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was Agam Satara with Tayag Mitzvahs. What do you mean? We're Jews at heart, we believe in God, we're not into marrying, performing.